You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your business in your life today. I'm excited for today's guest. He's been hard to track down and really get nailed to come on this show, but I'm excited to have him here. Joe Polish is the founder and president of Piranha Marketing. He is also the founder of Genius Network, known as the 25K Group, and his new Genius X, the 100K Group. He's also co-founder of 10X Talk, I Love Marketing, which are two highly popular iTunes podcasts that you all need to subscribe to. And Joe has been an entrepreneurial focus and value creation connection and contributor. His marketing expertise has been utilized to build thousands of businesses, which have generated hundreds of millions of dollars for his clients, ranging from large corporations to family small-owned businesses. Joe's passions today are continuing to develop Genius Network, Genius X, two groups for high-achieving entrepreneurs, providing useful sales and marketing's best strategies, and his charitable contributions, including Joe Volunteer, Artist for Addicts, and Sir Richard Branson's Foundations Virgins Unite, which Joe has raised well over $3 million to date to help fund entrepreneurial schools and humanitarian programs. Joe, I want to welcome you to Making Bank today.
It's great to be here, Josh, and thank you. And that bio makes me sound more important than I actually am. So as do all, but you know, what could you say? You're a marketer, right?
No problem. No, it's an honor to have you on the show. I'm excited to chat with you today. And I know you just got done traveling and I really appreciate your time and everything that you're giving today.
My pleasure.
Well, I guess tell us a little bit about, you know, what do you do? We'll start there.
Well, what I do is I do a lot of different things, but I try to take the skill of marketing, which is really storytelling and selling, and replicate it in a way so I can take my ambitious desires to help reduce human suffering for entrepreneurs and people that struggle with addiction and help build a better entrepreneur with a real heavy emphasis on how to most effectively market. And what I mean by that is to enroll people, to persuade people, to influence people to why they should pay attention to you versus other options, and to help people become more effective at whatever value it is that they give to the world to get other people to give them money for it. And so, and that involves many things that are sophisticated and other things that are quite easy, that are often overlooked, that are more based around psychology than they are around technology. And once you got the psychology right, then all the different forms of technology that are available to deliver messages to people are simply more effective. So I just help entrepreneurs, and I try to become a more conscious human being as best as I can. So, you know, one thing I'm open about is that I'm real focused on helping people with addictions, because I myself am an addict and struggled with addictions most of my life, starting in my late teens. And I understand a lot about what causes people to be self-destructive, and try to, you know, get them on the right path. But I'm on this journey just as much as any of my clients are. So,
and I know your background, just from, you know, us briefly chatting from here time and time, you know, when we've seen each other at your events and everything. Tell me about maybe three life-defining moments that really have transformed and changed, you know, your path and your direction.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess the ones that come to mind, there's many, but the ones that come to mind immediately are probably negative ones. My mother dying when I was 4 years old, and not knowing how to understand it at the time, but looking back at that from the, you know, the frame of reference of an adult, I went into a really scared, frightened place, and I had to learn how to function and be resourceful, even when I didn't, even when it was beyond my, you know, abilities as a human or a child. And so we moved around a lot as a kid, and I was incredibly shy and incredibly introverted and had trouble talking to people. So it's, you know, I was very disconnected. And then, you know, other things became, you know, it's funny because we're doing a business interview, but I'll talk about really personal stuff. You know, being molested as a kid and what that did to create a frame of reference that the world is not a safe place. And then, you know, getting deeply into drugs a few years after that as a way to cope and scratch the itch, try to numb the pain that I felt. Because of that, though, you know, and a lot of people don't get out of it. So I'm not trying to at all say like, hey, here's the wonderful ways to turn adversity into success. You know, I've certainly done that in a lot of ways. A lot of people can't because they're so hurt. Not that they can't. They just haven't learned how to yet, or they haven't found tools. But what it did, though, is it made me incredibly aware of other people's pain. And so I became very empathetic. And to be a really effective marketer that delivers value, because you can sell stuff to people, you can con people, you can be a real shyster and not have any care or compassion for humanity and still, you know, sell stuff and things like that. To sell and persuade and create value in a way requires you to have a deep concern for the person that you're selling something to, for your clients. And so I think the very best marketers that also do good stuff in the world are incredibly empathetic. So those moments became very empathetic to me. So that was you know, maybe a couple of things combined into the lesson is learning empathy and learning resourcefulness. Then as it relates to business, one of the biggest defining moments was discovering direct response marketing, discovering that you can change with words, you can influence people that you don't even know all over the world to invest in what it is you're selling, be it a for-profit business or your cause, and that the difference between a $1 bill and a $100 bill is the message on the paper. And there's virtual paper today, because when I learned all of my marketing stuff, I was a dead broke carpet cleaner living off credit cards, trying to survive, and I learned marketing because I needed to eat. I never thought I would teach marketing to other people. I never thought I would run the highest level, you know, discussion group in the world for industry transformers. I didn't think people would consider me like this great connector, because I was incredibly disconnected growing up. And it's funny that today I've kind of flipped the switch on all of that and learned how to really build rapport and really connect and really create value for people. It was the discovery, though, of direct response marketing, because I was a caring, hardworking person in my carpet cleaning business first starting out, which if you have to learn how to successfully sell something that nobody wants to buy, it actually forces you to learn about influence, to learn about how to say something, where to say it, how to say it. Because marketing is basically what you say and who you say it to. And right. And I didn't even understand what marketing meant. You know, I thought it was getting your name out there. I thought it was, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. And again, there was no internet when I first learned marketing, which was started in 1992 is when I read my first newsletter on marketing. And when I started changing the words in my ads and in my promotions, I 5x my sales in a matter of 6 months without becoming better at carpet cleaning, without becoming a better person, without doing anything different. I still cleaned carpets the same way. I still provided, you know, the same level of service. I just was able to sell more of it. And, you know, people that say money can't buy happiness, well, for one, they haven't given enough of it away, because if you're a rich, miserable human, but you're able to give money or contribute to things that help, you know, other people and makes them happy, you bought some happiness for them. Secondly, there's many things that I can buy that make me happy. I like nice restaurants. I like, you know, Four Seasons hotels. I like traveling to cool places. If I want to buy material items because it makes me happy, great. If I want to go to a movie or, you know, go do whatever, and money allows you to do that. That's important. And so the ability to learn how to have control over your business versus, you know, crossing your fingers and hoping that things are going to work out gives you walk away power. It gives you a level of freedom that cannot be gotten any other way. So when I learned marketing, it literally not only gave me a mechanism to build and grow a business, it gave me a ton of freedom, confidence, in all the byproducts that come out of that.
And no, I find that interesting. I mean, you know, I know one of the things is you mentioned, you know, just so, you know, some of the strategy that you went through, you know, with you know, as a child and the addiction and everything else. And even though I know you say, hey, you know, I don't want to talk about, you know, the whole adversity into success thing. I mean, I think other people hearing those challenges and what you went through to where you are today, I mean, I think that's a big thing because people resonate that, whether it's a lesser or more or whatever they have gone through, they're able to reach that connection with, you know, somebody that has been there. And so I think that's, that's awesome that you've come that far.
No, thank you. I mean, you're absolutely right. And I guess to expand upon it, it's through the pain of others that gives you an opportunity to really bond and connect with people in an authentic, genuine way, as long as you're coming from a place of giving, not coming from a place of taking. I mean, there are some very smooth talking, articulate people that give the illusion of sincerity and concern and care for others, but it's like a setup. It's sort of, you know, if a guy studies a ton of work on how to pick up women and everything that comes out of his mouth is calculated and it's about, you know, just, you know, that's different than someone that's like, hey, I genuinely care about that person. And that's not at all to say that you should not learn how to communicate or pick up women or women meet men or what. It's not about that. It's not a moral thing. It's just where you, how you approach something. So I genuinely go through life wanting to leave the campfire cleaner than it was before I showed up. I want to, my interactions with human beings, I want anyone I interact with, I want it to hopefully, I want that person to be better off than they were before I showed up. Meaning, even if it's a waiter or waitress in a restaurant, if I can just be sarcastic or tell a crude joke or just do something funny and it adds, you know, a smile to their face, or make a book recommendation to someone or whatever, I always try to do that. And so in the world of business, I'm always thinking about how to be useful, how to be generous, how to be contributing to other people. Know that I'm not entitled to anything. And if I get anything in the world financially or otherwise, I'm not entitled to it just because I want it. It requires me to create value for someone first, so that nothing's going to come to me in my life if I do not create value for someone first. And when you take that approach, you simply produce more than you consume. And part of being a productive human is produce more than you can consume. And there's a lot of people in the world that are more parasites than they are producers. And so anyone that's watching or listening to this, you know, if they really are a producer and they really, you know, have the mindset of, hey, I want to create value, then the very best thing you could do for yourself, for your clients, for the world is figure out how to most effectively enroll people into your thing. And that's why the study of marketing is one of the most important skill sets that anyone could ever learn. I mean, every important movement in the world happened because someone made a sale. Someone, and we could talk about Martin Luther King, we could talk about Gandhi, we can talk about Mother Teresa, John F. Kennedy, we can talk about all kinds of movements and individuals, you know, even if you like them or not, even if, you know, and then there's horrible people that have used persuasion, such as Hitler, and they have used it to murder people. So it's not the marketing that's bad, it's the application and the intention and the end result behind it. So I'm always defending entrepreneurs because there's a large segment of the population that just has been trained to believe that many entrepreneurs and business owners are greedy people, that all they care about is money. And frankly, I mean, you know, you and I could probably, most of the friends that we have are great human beings trying to just run a business, good in the world, to make money. And a lot of them, you know, doing incredibly wonderful things, you know, and I don't see many of these horrible entrepreneurs at the level that the media tries to portray it as. So certainly there are those people, but they're such a small minority. Most people that are just trying to, you know, get through their life and do a good job and do better. So
yeah, that's like go ahead.
Your shirt, innovator, leader, risk taker, 2% crazy entrepreneur. You take the term entrepreneur. The definition of an entrepreneur was coined in 1804 by a guy named Jean Baptiste Say, who's a French dude. And he said that a entrepreneur is someone that takes resources from a lower level of productivity to a higher level. And if you just think about that definition, you know, a lower yield to a higher yield, anytime you take your thinking, your service, the way that you approach things, innovation, leadership, risk taking, everything that's on your shirt, if you can increase that 5% to be 5% more innovative, 5% a better leader, 5% a risk taker, not risk taker like walk out into the street risk taker, but like literally the willingness to say, okay, you know, I could fail. This scares me getting up in front of an audience. You know, the first time I ever had to do a public speech, I was scared shitless, but also, you know, realize that whatever you're afraid of and you don't face controls you. Whatever you're afraid of and you take steps to face, you can control it, or at least you can get better at it. And I never could imagine that I could speak in front of an audience. And now I've spoken in front of groups of 5,000 people. You know, in a few months, I'm going to do a presentation in front of 13,000 people for an hour. You know, the thought of that when I was first starting out was like, there's no way in hell am I going to do that. But as an entrepreneur, you keep adding capabilities. And the more, so everyone that's like, I would frame this for anyone that participates in your show and listens to you. Think of every time they hear someone, you talk, Josh talks to this guy or this gal or talks about this or shares that. Think of it as like you're showing up to add capabilities to your life. And the more capable you become, the better you do. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, school is never out for the pro, and real education starts after you get out of regular school.
Right.
Because
that's when the education starts.
Exactly. That's my rant.
My kids like the 2% crazy, so they.
I didn't go there because I didn't know how. I'm not sure what that means to you, so I didn't want to like just assume. What the hell does 2% crazy mean?
So 2% crazy. So you're willing to totally do something different that somebody else may never think of or go after. Not ready to jump off a bridge crazy, but they, you know.
I'll tell you that. If you just want to look at a survey and someone's looking at that shirt, the 2% crazy is the one that really is the most compelling, because there's the curiosity factor of, okay, am I? And of course, most people are batshit crazy. So they can, you know, frankly, we're all a bunch of monkeys that drive cars. So, you know, we try to run businesses and have relationships and try to act functional when most people get up every day and they bumble their way through life. And the more you learn how to bumble your way through life in an effective way,
right,
the more fun it is, the more good that you can do. But certainly, you know, being a little weird, being a little crazy, and hanging out with, you know, people that don't beat to the same drum as everyone else is probably the best way to expand not only your usefulness in terms of how you approach your business. It's certainly the uncertainty makes it a hell of a lot of fun, because most people that become entrepreneurs, they despise mediocrity. They're always looking for how something can be done better. And, you know, there's no such thing as good enough for most entrepreneurs. I mean, there are aspects of a business like, look, you know, the way that I own an 11,000 square foot building that we're in right now. You know, I'll move this laptop around. This is the room where we do the Genius Network, 25K group meetings and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, there are certain things here, how we, you know, order paper towels and, you know, have the cleaning service, you know, that good enough is good enough there. But in terms of what we can do to constantly up our game for our clients, how we can deliver value creation, I mean, there's never a ceiling on that. And so I have to share this quote. There's a guy named David Ogilvy who wrote a book, Ogilvy on Advertising, which is everyone that really immerses themselves in marketing really needs to read that book at some point. And he said that if you get into the field of advertising, make sure you hire people that can thrive with on demanding schedules and stuff. He said because the field of advertising and marketing breeds anxiety. And there it's so much innovation. There's so many different ideas that certain personalities, it's too much for them. They just right. and those people, yeah, they don't make the best creative types. So anyway.
So there's our 2% crazy. And actually that's the one I always get comments on. Like you said, it creates the curiosity for sure.
Right.
So tell me a little bit. What do you think moving forward, what is your life's purpose and what are you really focused on?
Right now it is to connect people that have, it's to curate brilliant minds to come together and share their best strategies, their elegant ideas. I mean, my purpose is to just increase my level of consciousness, to have more peace and serenity, and knowing where I'm willing to trade off peace for productivity, because I am willing to endure pain in order to get certain results, which I'm not sure that's even a good idea, or if I'm just stupid or not all that aware, or if I just happen to be one of these people that's like, you know, there's, you know, I've been getting up in front of audiences and talking about having, you know, sexual addiction and where that leads to, and to try to change the global conversation about how people view addicts and addictions with one of compassion instead of judgment. And I'm exposing myself for criticism, which hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure it will. And people that will misconstrue what it is, you know, like when you say something like sexual addiction, you know, first off, it's an intimacy disorder. Sexual addiction is not always the best way to describe it. And most people that, you know, have trouble in relationships or have been molested or have, you know, have paid for sex with escorts or watch internet porn or sexual anorexia where they can't be sexual with their partner. You know, once they start talking to me and hearing about this, it makes sense. And I've had so many people that have come up and said, my God, thank you for talking about this. No one ever talks about this, especially in a business environment. But, you know, one of the drugs of choice for high level CEOs is escort services, as an example, paying for sex. So one of my missions is to take my marketing skills and take my new platform, which is Artists for Addicts, where we are selling art and we're using that to fund education and find the best forms of treatment that has efficacy that actually really works, from 12-step groups to nutrition to meditation to plant medicines to, I mean, we're exploring everything imaginable to help people that struggle with addiction. So my life purpose is to reduce human suffering. And that's where Joe Volunteer and Artists for Addicts, which are my passion projects, come into play. Because if I had all the money in the world, I would put it all into helping people that struggle with addictions. Because if you can take David Bowie, who's in one of our first painting, which is called Black Star. You know, this guy, when he was 27 years old, lived off cocaine and milk. And then him and Iggy Pop for like 2 years nearly died. And then him and Iggy Pop went to the UK, got sober. And then David Bowie lived another 40 years making one of the biggest bodies of work the world has ever seen, from music to paintings to film to writings to you name it. So it's like if you take all these great humans in the world and you can take the part of them that is self-destructing and you can parlay that into healing and into recovery, my God, you know, the greatest human resource we have is people. And there's a lot of people that are struggling. And so I'm just on a fight right now because 78 people a day are dying of opiate addictions in the United States. And in 2014, 49,000 people died from overdoses. And so drug overdoses has now surpassed car accidents in the United States of how people die. And so, you know, I never thought in a million years being a guy, you know, with my new marketing book, Joe's Marketing Book, which comes out, in a few weeks, that's all about business. I never thought I would use these skills to do causes, which is a byproduct of learning how to do marketing. So for our listeners, which many probably have, like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Making bank? You know, I mean, what's this have to do with making bank? Like, once I learned how to influence people to do business with me in a carpet cleaning business, I realized that same skill set and those same strategies could be used anywhere, in any environment, for profit, you know, for business. And so now my life purpose is to, you know, help help people with addiction and help entrepreneurs that are workaholics, that have something really good, but they don't know how to get paid for what it is they do, and teach them how to message it. And I'd love to give some takeaways because I know we're on limited time. So you tell me, I'll go for whatever amount of time you need or that you have available to provide some specific strategies that are not timely but are timeless and that the people, you know, would have, you know, most use for.
No, definitely. I mean, you threw it out there, so you might as well dive into a few of those.
Okay. So a lot of times people say, yeah, okay. I'll just keep rambling here. So one of the first things I did when I had my my carpet cleaning business, and I'm going to talk about carpet cleaning. So if someone's listening, they're like, oh, well, I don't sell carpet cleaning. You know, I'm in the real estate business, or I have, you know, high-end clients that buy, you know, Lamborghinis, or I sell yachts, or I'm a graphic designer. It doesn't matter. Insert the, you know, think of what you sell as glop. Everybody thinks their glop is the best glop in the world. And right. If you don't have a way to describe why your glop is better than the other glop, then it's just glop. Now, people that are married to their own product, they see the world through what they live, eat, and breathe. And so the thing is, whatever your thing is, it doesn't matter how valuable or how good your product or service is or what it does until after somebody's given you money for it. So how do you actually get someone to give you money for something? Well, one of the most effective ways that I learned how to sell is to teach people how to make a buying decision, because the number one question in all consumers' minds is, who can I trust? And so your job as a business owner is to establish trust and rapport with people so they feel comfortable with you to where they would want to do business with you. And if you're in a commodity business where, you know, people can get the same thing that you're selling for a lower price, then you have to turn your products into services. And if you're in the service business, then you have to turn your services into products. What I mean by that is, you can combine, like if you sell, let's take like what is an incredibly boring, mundane thing. Okay, let's take like restoration hardware. You know, they started out selling like bolts and shit, like Ace Hardware at Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever hardware store. And they actually packaged them and displayed them in different ways. And now they ended up turning into a furniture store, which became a byproduct of establishing that. I don't know if many people can remember, there was a lot of accessories that. So if you're Ace Hardware, as an example, they focus on really great service if they're going to sell a bolt that you can get at a dollar store or something like that. So in carpet cleaning, everyone would just think, you know, carpet cleaners are carpet cleaners. So what I would do is I packaged my services in different ways. I would, instead of offering a lower price, see, the worst offer you can make is no offer at all. The second worst offer you can make is a price offer. And so most people that advertise on price, it's because they don't know how to make any other offers. So what I focus on is, let's educate people on how to make a buying decision. So, and you've heard me talk about this, you know, one of the first things that I did was I wrote a sales letter. So anyone that's listening, if there's something you have that's important for you to get out into the world, you need to think of it this way. If I had a week to write a letter that I had to sell X number of my thing, or I had to get a kidney transplant for someone, or I had to find the love of my life, if I don't write the letter that I can put out online or mail to someone through direct mail or put it out to the world in audio, on video, or in paper and ink, you start with print. I mean, literally even handwriting it if you have to, because I've made millions of dollars with a pen and paper that doesn't require a computer. I can be anywhere. I don't need an internet connection. I mean, I've sold tens of millions of dollars with words. It all starts with words. So the number one thing that all business owners need is, they need a sales letter. They need something that powerfully conveys what it is that they're doing. And you teach people how to make a buying decision. And so what I call that is, I call that elf marketing. You can have an elf business, which is easy, lucrative, and fun, or you can have a half business, which is hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating. So I write about all this stuff in my book. That is a subtle plug for people.
I was going to say, I thought I just remember hearing all this recently when I was on the airplane the other day.
Yeah. No, I have to get myself in the mode of pimping my book, since I'm going to be doing that. Yeah, but yeah, it's called Joe's Marketing Book. That's what we tentatively had it titled, and we're getting feedback from all our Genius Network members, because I crowdsource my own stuff. And say, okay, what do you think of this? And most people like the title Joe's Marketing Book. So We're going to keep it as Joe's marketing book, which is so contrary against what anything that we would think of titling a book. But and I own the URL, joesmarketingbook.com. So anyway, so one of the things is education-based marketing. Write yourself a letter that teaches people how to make a buying decision, because this is the key. And I just want to emphasize this because it's so damn important and people miss it. One of the most effective and ethical and non-threatening ways to sell what it is you're selling is to educate people on how to make a buying decision. And it's not the things that you think your product or service does that you think are important. It's all the things that people don't know that they don't know that you have to convey. I'll say that again. It's all of the things that people don't know that they don't know that if you provide them with that, they will look at not only what you're selling, but anyone that sells what it is that you're selling in a different frame of reference. So for instance, my very first sales letter for carpet cleaning was a consumer's guide to carpet cleaning. Read this guide and discover 7 questions ask a carpet cleaner before you invite him into your home. Well, people didn't know there were 7 questions. How to avoid 4 carpet cleaning ripoffs. People didn't know there were 4 carpet cleaning ripoffs that they should avoid. 8 questions to ask a carpet cleaner, or 6 costly misconceptions about carpet cleaning. You know, they didn't know there were those misconceptions. So you can do that as a, you know, real estate agent. You know, 5 mistakes to avoid when hiring a realtor, 7 questions ask a graphic designer before you hire them. You know, whatever your category is, you come up with the things that people don't know that they don't know. I had one that said crawling critters and crud, a guide to the slime, grime, and livestock that's seeping, creeping, galloping through your carpet. So, you know, I would write these things, and it would, instead of a brochure, instead of just a plain website or something that says, you know, opt in here. I mean, you want to use very powerful, compelling things so that in the mind of the consumer, it's like, oh, I didn't know that. And then if you educate them, that in and of itself is creating value. But if you're the company or the person that is teaching them how to make a better decision, they have trust and rapport with you. So although I taught people how to hire a carpet cleaner, because my company was the one providing that information, they hired my company. Although with the information that I was providing, and still do. I mean, by the way, I mean, I ended up on ABC's 2020 back in 1999 with Barbara Walters and millions of consumers all over the world. You know, to this day, we have like literally thousands of companies that use my education-based marketing principles, free recorded message. I mean, it's generated billions of dollars for my clients, directly attributable to one. So this is not just some concept I dreamed up. We've been doing this shit for over 20 years. So we've been doing it for 24 years approximately. So basically it works. So the question is, anyone that's listening to this, if you've not written a sales letter, if you've not created a mechanism that you can offer people a free report, a sales letter, something that they can download, you don't want to call it a sales letter if it's an educational report. You don't want to say, call and request your free sales letter. I refer to it as a sales letter because the purpose of it is designed to lead people into doing business with you. And if someone is a single person, have you ever written a sales letter for getting a date? Have you ever written a sales letter for a cause? If you know, if there's an animal shelter in town that needs funding, they need a sales letter. If there's a dry cleaner of clothing that needs new clients, they need a sales letter. Because with the sales letter, it can turn into ads, it can turn into social media posts, it can turn into articles. I mean, there's a whole variety of stuff, but it starts with the sales letter.
That was awesome. I hope everybody's taking notes and writing down. If not, rewind and replay that. That was some awesome information. Like Joe said, I mean, I know I've been reading the book.
Thank you.
I know a lot of the details are in there. So, but no, that's some phenomenal information. I know we're going to need to wrap up here in a few minutes. So, tell me, what's one piece of technology you can't live without?
Oh boy. I would say, an iPhone. I don't know if I can live with it either, because it's kind of a pain in the ass. I mean, we have become culturally, it is systemic how people are, how weird it is. Because as a kid, I used to walk around by myself all day long on, you know, Saturdays and Sundays when I wasn't in school, in Alpine, Texas, in fields, you know, just with a BB gun. And, you know, it just, wandering around with no, I wouldn't be able to call home. I wouldn't have any technology. And most people can't even go to the bathroom without their, you know, their cell phones attached to them. So I love the technology of being able to record audio messages. One of the things that is to get as close to in person as possible when you're connecting with other people. So when someone wants to connect or I want to convey a message, like I have a whole team of people. I have, you know, a variety of employees. I have over $1 million in payroll. And so, you know, I have a lot of people that work for me. And one of the best ways is to just record audio messages and just text them to certain groups of people, or just to send it out or do it for my clients, which again is an ELF marketing system. You know, how do you can and clone yourself? And so with an iPhone, I literally can stay connected in many different ways. And then when it comes, gosh, what else could I probably share with you that is a technology that I can't live without? I mean, I love Bluetooth headphones when I work out, when I hike mountains. I mean, it's awesome, yeah. Right? And I still like working out with just an iPod, so no one can actually, you know, call me or do anything, because there is a way that you have to, if you want any peace and serenity in your life, you have to literally shut it off.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, it's one of the reasons I meditate and do yoga multiple times a week, because I just don't want any distractions, because we live in a very distractible world. And what else? You know, things like Trello for organizing all of the stuff on your list, that sort of stuff. And as far as, you know, we do a lot of Facebook ads, we do retargeting and promotions. So it's less about the technology. Like, for instance, let's take Facebook as an example, although you could use this on any social media platform. Most people don't utilize or use Facebook to build and grow their business. They actually, it uses them. And so if people have something that they want to, you know, sell in the world, they would be well served to learn how to advertise on Facebook versus spending all of their time just following their friends or whatever clickbait article sucks you in. Because see, people, you take the recent elections. People actually think they have a biased viewpoint, but the moment, this is the world we live in. The moment you read an article that says this politician is a scumbag and here's all the reasons why, and you spend 7 minutes on that article, and then you click through and watch a video on YouTube, and then you look at a friend who happens to have either, you know, a liberal or conservative or whatever viewpoint you have, and you start liking that or you start sharing that, there's all these algorithms and all this retargeting that literally is identifying what you are interested in and feeding back to you exactly what you are giving indications by the bait that you take. So what people are actually reading is a personalized news that is delivered to them based on where their interests are and everything. And it's just getting more and more deeper. That's why when you go to Amazon and buy something, if you like this, we recommend that. And so the world that we live in, it is no longer – there's, you know, people are reading what is being fed to them, not what they're quote unquote seeking out without thinking about this. And most people are oblivious to that. So from a marketing standpoint, you want to enter the conversation that already exists in the prospect's mind. And that's how you actually persuade people, because people are doing it to you all day long. The question is, are you using technology or is technology using you? And most people aren't utilizing technology or using it. It is using them. You know, that's just – so that being said, I just hope people today, whatever way it makes sense to them, think about everything that you look at and interact with. It is tracking you. It understands your habits. It understands your behavior. And the more the world gets into – like I talk about in the book, 24-hour free recorded messages that everyone should have on their business card, or if they have a service vehicle on the side of their van, because everyone carries around their phone. When people are driving, you know, if there's a, you know, warning, don't call any carpet cleaner until you listen to this free recorded message, they're not going to go to a website when they're driving, but they may call and listen to the 24-hour free recorded message. People have their phones on them all the time. Well, in the future, it might be a hologram. It might be, you know, an AI system that you talk to. So, you know, just understand that if you are going to go on Facebook and you have a business, you'd be better off spending the majority of your – see, most people spend maybe 2 to 5% of their time thinking about how to effectively make an offer that people are interested in or write very valuable things that cause a following. Most of the time, they're just gossiping because the vast majority of human conversations is gossip. And if you actually went in and really strategically thought about, you know, what is the outcome – of using if you ask yourself the question, I'm going to go online, what's the outcome? I mean, even if you are an ADD person that immediately 2 minutes in, you've completely forgotten your outcome and you're sucked into, you know, the internet. If you just go into everything, meetings, everything with like, what is the outcome that I'm looking for? You're just going to strategically use things better. So I just think people ask themselves, the wrong questions, or they don't ask themselves questions at all.
Yeah. No, I think that's important. You know, definitely going into it, knowing what your outcome, what you want out of it is. And like you said, I think Facebook is being underutilized. I know we've added a lot of different dynamic retargeting and a lot of different really cool stuff that Facebook keeps rolling out, all these different ways to interact with people that, and they're getting better and better, I think, of knowing, hey, these are the right people for you and serving that information up, like you said, with the algorithms and everything. So
let me ask you a question. What is the best way for people to get, like, I've always loved the term, is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, if you're going to invest time listening to your show as an example, what have you learned the most out of Making Bank, and what it's provided to the listeners, what it's provided to your clients, what has it done for you? I'd like to actually hear that, although that sounds bizarre that I'm flipping – you know, the questions on
taking over the show, huh, Joe?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we, you know, my whole philosophy going into this was to be able to provide the most value for people out there through, you know, interviewing the top people, the people that, you know, you see every day, and being able to extract that information and share it and give them, hey, this might be somebody that you may never directly personally connect with, but I'm able to grab some information that you can take and implement in your life, your business, to make some transformation and allow you to move forward and be a better person, be a better husband or wife or entrepreneur. So,
gotcha. Okay, awesome. Well, no, I love it. I love hearing that too, because you know what? A lot of people don't realize is to do this stuff takes a lot of work. You got to coordinate schedules. You got to set. You got to do stuff, and then you just put it out there for people to benefit from. So, you know, I always like hearing other people's outcomes.
Well, cool. Thanks. Let's see. Where can people find out about you and get more information on everything? Genius, well, book or whatever you want to talk about.
JoePolish.com, my name, you know, typing that into Google is really easy to do. And my podcast, you can find my podcast through JoePolish.com. My marketing one is called I Love Marketing, where people can subscribe to all of these on iTunes. 10X Talk that I do with Dan Sullivan, the founder of Strategic Coach. And then Genius Network, which is where we take all of the brilliant people like you and that we have in the Genius Network, group, and we feature their elegant ideas and their best strategies, and we put it out there, and there's, you know, just incredible wisdom, and I try to put, you know, wisdom out there for free that's better than what most people charge for. And most people that learn from my stuff never give me any money. Most of it's just I put it out there, and then the handful of people end up, you know, becoming members of the group. But and then my artistforaddicts.com here's what I would love. More than anything, what we're doing right now is selling art. Artists for Addicts. Artists with an S for Addicts, ADDICTS.com. I'd love everyone to watch the trailer, the video trailer. It's a few minutes and just see what we're doing there. And, you know, anything that I can do to help inspire people to, you know, help people with addictions or change the global conversation is my mission. And that's what I want to do.
Awesome. We'll have the Joe Polish link right over here, as well as the Artist for Addicts link, so people can just click right over to them while they're watching the video. So,
thank you.
Definitely. And then just one last insight, and then we'll wrap up.
All of the books, all of the seminars, all the courses, I've spent several million dollars on my own education. I've read over 1,000 books. I hang out with incredibly bright people all the time. For me, unlearning is more important than learning. It's important to learn. You want to become capable. the shit that really screws people up is all of the beliefs that they have, the ego that controls them in negative ways where they have to unlearn. And so, you know, unlearning. And so that's one part when it comes to mental development. The other is, I've always loved the proverb, he who has their health has 1,000 dreams. He who does not have their health has only one, he or she, you know, so don't take out right. It's not male or female. This is people. You know, the fact that I have aspirations and goals and dreams is because I'm healthy. I'm not laid up in a hospital bed. I have a dear friend right now who I was at the hospital with on Friday who has 20 tumors in her brain for brain cancer, you know, and this is a person who went in remission from stage 4 cancer and it's come back. And it's, you know, and I believe a lot of it just has to do with stress because both my parents died of stress. And so I've had a lot of people in my life die, and take care of your health as best you can, because even doing the best stuff, you know, life happens. But the thing is, you know, to purposely put shit food into your body, to purposely put toxic things that you drink and sugars and all kinds of crap, and there's plenty of that that's sold, you're just poisoning yourself. And, you know, everyone's heard the saying, you know, you are what you eat. I mean, if you really think everything that you consume becomes you, not just food, but negative people, crap that you watch online, what you put into your body and into your brain changes you. And, you know, we have this incredible mechanism, our bodies use it. Stand up when you're working, get a standing desk. Get out of the office. Most productive work is not done in offices. Go to libraries, go to coffee shops, even if you don't drink coffee. And I don't, you know, I rarely drink coffee. The fact is I get away. Most of my productive work is not done in my office. And I have a beautiful office. I mean, I can work here all the time, but I get most of my good work done not in an office. And move your body. Do yoga, exercise, and if you're not used to it, hire a personal trainer. And if you don't have enough money to hire a personal trainer, then figure out how to make enough money so you can hire people, because that's the beauty of making money. And take care of your health. And if you do that, the ripple effect of your family and everyone else, because, you know, your shirt says leader, and people that you want to persuade are not persuaded mostly by the shit you say. It's by what it is that you do. Anyone can talk a good game. And, you know, you don't build a great reputation by talking about what you're going to do. You build a great reputation by actually doing it. So if you've got a bunch of goals and aspirations, quit telling them to the world. Just fucking do them. And then when you do them, you have told the world in far stronger ways than by saying, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. So, and that comes from using your body and taking care of yourself and treating yourself like the $1 million racehorse. Last thing I'll say is, like, I interviewed this lady years ago. If you had a racehorse and that horse's job was to win races and it was $1 million, and if that horse won, it was $1 million prize, how would you treat that horse? You wouldn't shove fast food down its throat. You wouldn't drive it to exhaustion. You would let it get practice. You would take care of it. You would groom that horse. You would have a great track for that horse to practice on, because when it came time for game day, that horse would win. Well, you're the $1 million racehorse. I'm my $1 million racehorse. And if you don't treat yourself and take care of yourself, you ain't going to win any races. So winners find ways, and so do losers. People that are losing in life, it doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means the way they go about life is not working for them. And if they change that, then they'll maybe start winning in life. And a lot of times that admits walking into a 12-step group and admitting I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. I'm a gambling addict. I'm a workaholic. I'm codependent, you know, going and seeking help. So whatever you need to do in order to take care of the most important asset you're ever going to have, which is your brain and your body and your mind, that's where you need to put more of your focus. And if you do that, all the other business stuff becomes a lot easier. That's my another rant.
100% agree, because I mean, I think that's, health is a major thing, and too many of us don't take care of ourselves and wonder how we got here. But yeah. Joe, it was really an honor to have you on Making Bank today, and your time and just all your insights and valuable information. So again, thank you for coming on Making Bank. And hey guys, when Joe's book goes live, make sure you get out and get yourself a copy. It's chocked full of great insights that are going to improve yourself and your business. So thanks
again,
Joe.
We can notify people at joesmarketingbook.com if they want to be notified. They can just opt in there and we'll tell them when it's available. Thank you.
No problem. I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1%. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.